ocean, unbounded awareness. Turbulent design, memories and desire. Impressions enter silent space, gap between transient thoughts, flowing stream of our life, beyond beginnings and
beginnings. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal.
Oh, yes, indeedy. All systems are nominal. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and 92.3 FM. And, you know, I'm your host, DJ Captain Maeve. You know how it goes. You know what I'm going to say next, Captain DJ Maeve, et cetera, et cetera. And welcome to Out and About. Welcome, my lovelies, my friends here in the studio. And we're going to, you know, by popular demand, we have Spokane Shakespeare Society back in the house talking As You Like It. And we're just going to go around. Why don't, you know what? I would introduce myself, but go ahead and introduce yourselves. I introduce you myself, but go ahead and introduce yourself. Abby, you can kick it off.
All right. I'm Abby Burlingame. I am the director of As You Like It.
I'm other Abby, Abby Constable, and I play the role of Rosalind.
I'm Sydney Anderson, and I play the role of Celia.
I'm Blake Carlson, and I play the role of Oliver.
That's right. So you have all the big heavy, well, not all the heavy hitters, but I'd say a good portion here. And we're going to do some scenes from it. And, you know, the show has been going on for 2 weeks now, and we're going to talk about that a little bit about how it's been going. But anybody, for people who missed that very important episode, I suggest you go back and listen to it. Does anybody want to kind of talk about what the story of As You Like It is about?
I don't know.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you.
Unless Rosalind wants to.
I could take it. I think you took it last time. Yeah, so the story of As You Like It is, there's many stories going on, but Rosalind has recently, her father was banished from his dukedom. He was usurped by his, in our version, his sister, Duke Frederick, and he has been banished out into the woods. And at the top of the show, Rosalind is also banished. So she and her cousin Celia decide to run away together to the forest. And while they're there, they run into a host of characters. Rosalind goes into the woods disguised as a man, where she runs into Orlando, the man that she has fallen in love with, and decides that while she is disguised as this boy, Ganymede, she's going to teach him how to woo her in the most silliest way possible. And there's other couples that fall in love, and we've got a fool, and there's just general madness going on in the woods.
That is a really great synopsis. And when you said woo, that woo me line, that
woo me,
that always gets laughs. That always gets such good laughs.
It's one of my favorite ones.
It's a good line where people sometimes seem a little confused. That one they're totally into. So let's talk about how it's been going. You have, let's go around. You, Abby, you talked about your character. Sydney, why don't you, we'll just keep going around here and talk about the characters.
Yeah, so I play Celia, and I think she's a lot of fun. I think that she has been really fun to explore. She's definitely got a fire inside of her. She loves Rosalind like a sister, and I think that that sisterly dynamic has been one of the most important parts of my character of Celia. And in the host of fools that we find in the forest, Celia happens upon Oliver, who she is instantly taken with after spending basically the entire play absolutely railing against Rosalind's love. And she's like, I don't get it. What do you see? He's just some guy. Celia meets some guy and is instantly wooed.
And you just set up a wonderful transition. Thank you for that. Woo man.
A woo man.
Whoa, man.
Okay, I love the character of Oliver because everybody loves a redemption story. In the beginning, he's not very kind to Orlando, the main character, who's his younger brother. And you know, you kind of get a moment where he... How would you phrase this? Where he...
He
tries to...
Realization.
Yes, he comes to a realization where Charles the Wrestler is going to be wrestling his brother, and he tells Charles the Wrestler to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he eventually, through some things, I don't know if I want to get too specific into...
Oh, yeah, there could be some spoiler alerts I suppose.
He has a moment where he discovers that his brother is actually a really good person, and that... That's what he wants to be as well. He wants to be a good person, and he falls in love with Celia. And yeah, and then no more lines after that.
That's right.
Celia's the most important part of Oliver's life.
Well, and I always love when I see your microphone just go in the box early.
Yeah.
It's like, Celia, I'm done.
Celia falls in love with Oliver, and then she gets no more lines. And so then I am free to take my microphone off because I have nothing more to say.
That's good. Oh, and I guess you can tell I'm in the play, so... So true, full disclosure here. I'm in the play. It's a nonprofit. All that stuff. And I play two characters, second brother, which I think this second brother is like Shakespeare wrote this play and then they're all done with it. And they're like, you know, well, there's some things I kind of wondered that haven't been resolved in this thing. Whatever happened? He's like, oh, you're right. Well, let's just make a new character and he'll just come in and resolve all the loose ends.
Just have them clean it up for
him. And then I'm Amiens, who carries a boombox on the back of a bicycle, which I almost bit it a couple times when we did it indoors. But yeah, so it's a great role because it's small, which is wonderful. So that's kind of, I think we've done all our character stuff now. So we've been doing it for 2 weeks and what changes in the weather, huh? Each week?
Yeah, the weather's been a big thing. I mean, we opened in almost 100 degree heat for all of Tech Week, which these guys were rock stars.
Thank you.
I don't say that all the time, but they were rock stars because they were out there in Elizabethan garb, you know, doing it. And then this past week, yeah, we've been at Manitou, which is a historically cooler site.
Yeah.
Just because it's grassy and there's lots of trees, but then it's also been significantly cooler in the weather. So only in the 80s.
Yeah.
And then I think we're going to get everything this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to get hot again, isn't
it? It's going to get hot again. Yeah.
Is there any talk about moving it indoors again or?
Yeah, we have a couple options lined up. I think it depends on the day and how much warning we get.
Yeah.
But
it should be a little cooler by the river, I would think. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that spot is pretty cool when you're right by the water there.
Yeah.
It's also, like everywhere else, it's grassy. We're not on asphalt, so it stays nice and cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's part of the roller coaster adventures. I mean, they have now performed the show in 3 different spaces, one of which was an indoor black box space. And so, yeah, it's been fun to see how the show has changed and molded and
spaces. And it's like all hands on deck kind of thing too, because everybody sets up everything and takes down everything, and I think that's kind of, that to me is kind of a fun part of it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good troop mentality.
Yeah,
it's, everyone's in it together. It's been weird for me as a director, like not being there the whole time.
Yeah,
it's like I leave, I like come, and then I watch part of the show and then I leave, as you guys know. And that's...
Well, that's when everybody just does something completely different.
I know. And then I'm like, you're probably completely changing the
different
second
show.
Act. Those two are adding lines in.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
You forget a handkerchief.
I did hear about that.
Yeah. We worked Young Frankenstein, the musical. into it when you weren't there one night. Okay. People seemed to like it. A couple of good dance numbers.
Yeah, extended it by 2 hours, but nobody really cared.
Nobody cared.
They're happy to be there. Yeah. Happy to be there.
More, they said. What have you, going through this, have you changed, like, techniques? Have you bolstered some areas and cut some things and all that?
I feel like it's been, like, I mean, you all know, I get kind of anxious about little details and things like that. And so I feel like for me, the change has been being like, no, the show is solid. Like, the scenes are funny. The interactions are there. The character arcs are there. And so, yes, there's adjustments to make in each of the spaces. But I think this is the part where I learn how to, like, let my teenager go off into the world and hope I raise them right and not be a helicopter parent.
Yeah, it's not your fault after this. It seems like, have you all talked to people afterwards? I mean, what's been the reaction to friends and audience members to the show?
My best friend loved it. My best friend did theater in high school, but then, you know, had to give it up in college. And she was like, seeing you do this as opposed to, like, you know, every other show that I've done in an auditorium, she was like, that was so cool. Oh my God. She thought it was hilarious. She thought all the characters were funny. Maeve, she thought your character was great.
Oh, go on.
The first thing that people always say to me after shows is, how did you guys do that outside in the heat in those costumes? Just what I've been hearing over and over again is that, oh my God, this is so much fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though our set is three trunks, people don't miss it. They're amazed that we don't have very much out there. It's just costumes and trunks, and they get the story. They love the fusion of Elizabethan and modern park memorabilia. And they just have so much fun, and they are amazed that it was only like a 2-hour show.
Yeah.
That it felt like it went by so quick and it was so easy to understand.
Yeah.
Which is great. Especially when you're doing Shakespeare.
Yeah. People are laughing at all the jokes really hard, really hard.
Yeah, I didn't think we were going to trick anyone with, like, the random people being park rangers. And, like, some of my friends genuinely were like, I thought they worked there. I didn't think we were going to get anyone, honestly. But it's been crazy. Like, everything that I thought wasn't going to work out with outdoor theater is a beautiful part of the magic.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah,
I kind of thought that. This is my first time with outdoor theater. So
I found that too. That people, and it's funny, you know, just having to maneuver around the crowd. You know, this last on Sunday, there's people parked right there, and it was like, and did you know that there was you saw Jeffrey hand that chair to the woman? Mm-hmm. Really, I thought, you know what, Jeffrey, you have got it so going on, and you know, instead of, you know. You gave her, because she was sitting on the chest. She was sitting on the chest as a prop. And so, here, we're going to use this chest, but here's a chair for you, and you can put it here, which I thought was so great. Well, that was great. But then she moved it to completely block the area by the two people when we came in on stage right there. And I'm like, so I finally went up to her, like, you can't sit here. This is where we come in. Can you move over? Oh, sure. But then those other two folks, I mean, I was so close to putting out their eyes with an arrow each time, because maneuvering that bicycle through them, I always brushed by them. And anyway, it was, but it was all part of the fun. And they didn't care. They didn't care. They were having a good time.
Part
they were
of the
laughing
experience.
And having a great time, you know? So yeah, it was pretty cool. And the parks have been pretty good about it, Abby, as far as no complaints. I know we kind of got out of Manitou a little bit late, it seems like, later than they wanted us, but that couldn't be helped, right?
I think that it's a really good partnership with the parks, and they like having us there. So as far as I know, that side of it's all but going well.
Good, yeah.
And yeah, that was my intent with this show, so I'm glad it is, you know, in 2 weeks out of three, and so far, knock on wood, the three parks it's worked to feel like the park environment is part of the setting of the play. And so just, embrace the mess of people walking around in the background and things like that.
We'll have a lot of those at Riverfront Park, won't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, well, Riverfront was the park that I initially imagined this happening in because of all of the activity there. Like, yeah. A lot of the characters, like the whole person on a bike with a boo box was drawn from Riverfront.
Oh, sure, yeah, I see plenty of
and
those.
And so I'm just thankful that some the other parks we've been in have at least had some people on bikes to kind of blend it into the scenario.
Yeah, I went up a couple nights ago and I just started, like, talking to people. That were because sometimes they just stand right behind, like their mouth open, like, what? What's going on? So, oh, hey. So that's been pretty fun. But, well, we're going to break for our 20-minute after the hour stuff. We're going to come back and, well, let's talk some more, shall we? Okay. I'm going to play a little music. I'm going to get my stuff. Oh, that's the wrong show. Hang on. There we go. Okay. All right. We'll be right back.
Music scene is all about, you're missing out. Join me on Tuesdays, 2 to 4.
Hi, this is Jeremy Whittington from Stage Left Theater. KYRS, Thin Air Community Radio, provides our region with information that might be omitted, overlooked, or even censored by mainstream media. Your radio station is powered by the communities they serve, and our radio programs are as rich and diverse as the Spokane community itself. Please make a pledge today by texting GIVE KYRS to 44321. Your support ensures that KYRS can continue to celebrate the rich diversity of our community.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for August 1st through the 6th. Thursday, Current Flow at Arborcrest, Michael Milham, Paul Grove, Abe Kinney, and John Paul Shields at Brick West, and I Declare War at the Big Dipper. Friday, Sunfish at the Chameleon, La Cha-Cha, Big Raffle, and Roman Arc at the Big Dipper, and All-Star Opera, Sus, and Kung Fu Vinyl at the Chameleon. Saturday, Man With No Name at Give It A Shot Espresso, La Cha-Cha and Quarter Monkey at the Brick West Plaza, and Mother Lover at Jackson Street. Sunday, Soulful Brothers at Arborcrest, Lilac at the Chameleon, and the Hot Club of Spokane at Hamilton Studio. Monday, open mic with Ya Boy Beto and Ben 10 at the Red Room, jam session at the Off Regal Lounge, and open mic at Live Entertainment. Tuesday, Tanya Ballman at Riverfront Eats, Reign of Z at the Chameleon, Carrie Marguerite and the 76 at Rocket Market, and Nick Shoulders and the OK Crawdad at the District. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
KYRS receives support from Garland Pride in Spokane, featuring vending and entertainment, including drag, musicians, comedians, a Dorothy contest, and more. August 17th from 2 to 9 p.m. on Lincoln between Walton and Garland. Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Out and About, and I'm talking to my friends from As You Like It, and we're kind of talking. The show's been running for a couple of weeks. It has one more week at Riverfront Park, and we're going to talk a little bit about, we've been talking about the changes made, what the weather's been like. We're going to do a scene for you in a few minutes here, but first I kind of wanted to ask, you know, you all have jobs. Abby, you have a job, but you're just not doing it right now.
Yeah.
Blake?
I'm going into a job.
You're going into a job. Yeah. Right. So how's that been going as far as, like, you know, working and doing the Blakes? You all do great. I just, you know.
Well, I...
for our listeners, Sydney just pushed Blake to the floor.
Yeah, that's all right. I have four jobs, fun fact. I enjoy them all very much. One of them is not so active right now. I'm the assistant dance coach at Shadle Park High School. Woot, woot. So it's summertime for my kids, so I don't see them that often. But my main job is working in theater tech at Whitworth University. And so that's been actually pretty nice. I get off in the late afternoon. And then I just go home, and I have enough time to, like, quickly eat something and then go straight to rehearsal. So I'm doing theater stuff literally all day, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, actually. That is cool.
Nothing better.
Yeah, that's awesome. I wish I could do theater stuff all day. So I call my situation, like, a Hannah Montana-type situation because I work as a park ranger as my day job. And I work an hour out of town, and so I'm out there, and I'm, you know, telling people not to light the forest on fire. Please don't light the forest on fire. And then I get in my car, and I drive here, and then I run around a park. I guess I'm still outside with a bunch of Shakespearean actors.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. But the good news is, for most rehearsals, my, like, work schedules are slight, and rehearsal schedules are slightly offset, and so that helps a lot with having... there aren't that many days that are full on, you know, going from the full day of work into a 3-hour rehearsal.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Because that, all that driving and you probably have to drive pretty early in the morning, I bet, too, to get out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have there been a lot of, I guess because we'll be downtown, will there be a lot of people from out of town, from hotels and stuff, do you think, that'll be visiting Spokane? Has that happened where people kind of...
Yeah, we do generally get a lot of, like, convention-type people. You'll see big groups walking through with, like, lanyards and things. Uh-huh. They don't really know what's going on, but sometimes they join in and watch, and it's fun. One of my initial conceptions or ideas for the show before I landed on the kind of, I guess, time travel Shakespeare into modern day was, I was like, oh, the court will be like fancy business people that might be at the hotel, like the convention people.
Oh, that'd be fun. One of my thoughts. Yeah, that would have been a fun way to go too.
So yeah. Different crowds.
I had, this woman was kind of standing in our area, the cast area, and she was sort of watching the play. And I just kind of came up to her and said, oh, hi, how you doing? And she goes, who are you people?
Valid question.
And I said, well, we're the Spokane Shakespeare Society. And, you know, we do this in the parks. And she said, oh, I'm so happy to see this has spread to Spokane. I lived in San Francisco and they used to do this here. And she was very moved by it. Oddly enough, and sort of stood there for a while, kind of teary-eyed. I gotta go now. But well, yeah, but it was nice. It was nice. People were kind of just really moved by it, you know? It would be cool if people, I guess if hotels know and they send people down, I don't know. That'd be kind of cool. So how do people find out more about the schedule, about where we're going to be, if there's any updates, if we're going to be inside or any of that stuff, Abby?
Definitely. So SpokaneShakespeareSociety.org has all of our information. You can also follow us on social media. We're on Instagram as well as Facebook. Instagram and Facebook will probably be the best places to go to get up-to-date information on like venue changes if we do have to move inside because of weather. And in terms of location, unless we move, it's really easy this weekend because we only have one more park left, which is Riverfront Park, and we are in the Lilac Bowl, which is just across from the river from the Arts Center.
The floating stage and all that stuff.
Yeah, where all the touring productions come in. We're just across the river. It's kind of standing pool of water, the river.
River. Now we're going to do a scene or two here. I heard. Does anybody want to set up the scene that you're going to do?
I'll take this one.
Okay.
The scene that we're about to do is Celia comes in and she has just met Orlando in the forest, and Orlando goes through the forest and he's hanging his really, really, really terrible poetry on all the trees. And so Celia comes in and she's just finished reading some of the really terrible poetry aloud. And she meets up with Rosalind, who is currently disguised as Ganymede. And she's kind of talking to her cousin and she's like, "Oh my God, there's this horrible poetry in the forest. Have you heard this? It's pretty bad." And she gets a lot of fun out of teasing Rosalind for it.
Yeah. All right.
"Didst thou hear these verses?"
"Ugh, yes. I heard them all, and more, too. For some of them had in them more feet than the verses would bear."
"That's no matter. The feet might bear the verses."
"Aye, but the feet were lame and could not bear themselves without the verse, and therefore stood lamely in the verse."
"True you. Who hath done this?
Is it a man?
And a chain that you once wore about his neck? Change your color.
I prithee, who?"
"Oh, Lord, Lord, it is a hard matter for friends to meet, but mountains may be removed with earthquakes, and so, encounter."
"Nay, but who is it?
Is it possible?"
"Nay, I prithee now, with petitionary vehemence, tell me who it is."
"Oh, wonderful, wonderful, and most wonderful, wonderful, and yet again, wonderful. And after that, out of all whooping."
"Good, my complexion. Dost thou think, though I am comparison like a man, I have a doublet and hose in my disposition? One inch of delay more is a South Sea of discovery. I prithee, tell me who is it quickly, and speak apace. Oh, I would thou couldst stammer that thou mightest pour this concealed man out of thy mouth as wine comes out of a narrow-mouthed bottle, either too much at once or none at all. I prithee, take the cork out of thy mouth that I may drink thy tidings."
"So you may put a man in your belly?"
"Is he of God's making? What manner of man? Is his head worth a hat or his chin worth a beard?"
"Nay, he hath but a little beard."
"Why, God will send more if the man will be thankful. Let me say the growth of his beard, if thou delay me not the knowledge of his chin."
"It is young Orlando that tripped up the wrestler's heels and your heart both in an instant."
"Nay. Oh, but the devil take mocking speak, sad brow and true maid."
"I' faith, cuz 'tis he."
"Orlando?
Orlando."
"Alas the day. Oh, what shall I do with my doublet and hose? What did he when thou sawest him? What said he? How looked he? Wherein went he? What makes he here? Did he ask for me? Where remains he? How parted he with thee? And when shalt thou see him again? Answer me in one word."
"You must borrow me Gargantua's mouth first. 'Tis a word too great for any mouth of this age's size. To say aye and no to these particulars is more than to answer in a catechism."
"Oh, but doth he know that I am in this forest and in man's apparel? Looks he as freshly as he did the day he wrestled?"
"Ugh, it is as easy to count atomies as it is to resolve the propositions of a lover. But take a taste of my finding him and relish it with good observance. I found him under a tree like a dropped acorn."
"Oh, it may well be called Jove's tree when it drops forth such fruit."
"Give me audience, good madam."
"Proceed." There lay he, stretched along like a wounded knight.
That would be a pity to see such a sight. It well becomes the ground.
Cry, holla to thy tongue, I prithee. It curvets unseasonably. He was furnished like a hunter.
Oh, ominous! He comes to kill my heart.
I would sing my song without a burden. Thou bringst me out of tune.
Do you not know I am a woman when I think I must speak?
Sweet,
say on.
You bring me out.
Yeah. Yay! You know, the chemistry between you two is so good. And like I've said this before, when you guys are doing stuff, if I watch it, it cracks me up every time. I just think that, and you have never worked together before, have you?
Nope.
Wow. First time. I hope you two get to work together a lot.
Me
because
too.
It's me you're too. Just really, really good together. Yeah. And the quick costume changes you have to do too.
Yeah. Sometimes they're not as quick as we hope yeah. they would be, but yeah, we do our best.
But they're great costumes too. I mean,
they're beautiful costumes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have, luckily we have Touchstone to kind of stall things and screw around with the audience. And this is one of those things, like, if you like to be messed with or participate, you can. No one's going to pick on you unless you say it's okay. So don't worry. I think sometimes people worry, like, oh, somebody's going to say something to me and then I'm going to be really embarrassed and look stupid. Well, we can't help the look stupid part sometimes, but I mean, like, we're not going to pick on you, put it that way. So Blake, do you have a scene to do too?
All of us are in this one.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's go. I mean, I hate to just get all the scenes out of the way. Do we want to talk about something a little bit between the scenes? Abby, you got anything?
Yeah, I mean,
How has it been working with new actors that you don't know?
How has it been?
Yeah, how is that, Abby?
Yeah. Well, I know other Abby fairly well.
Yeah, you guys have been in stuff together.
Abby, yes, this is our first time actor-director.
And we're pretty good friends, so that helps. These two. No, it's been fantastic. I mean, first of all, don't let this go to your heads. You're both wildly talented. And so it's amazing to have fresh meat as three to, just liven it up and really dig into these characters. And I mean, I'm also really appreciative of everyone in the cast, including you, for your patience with me. I haven't directed since college. And I mean, I can stop saying that after this show. I feel like I've said that a lot through the run of the show, but I can stop saying it after this show because it won't be true anymore. And so it's just been like a learning curve for me again, like remembering, oh, when you're giving actors direction, you need to say things clearly and use things like stage right, stage left, upstage, downstage, not just point vaguely and mumble. And so they all get A+ in interpreting Abby's point vaguely and mumble guidance. And so, yeah, it's been good. And in terms of like Shakespeare in the Park, I think it's really good to have, you know, that group of people who wants to work together and wants to be out there because there are challenges to overcome. And so, yeah, I'm going to be, couldn't be happier working with this group. I know that's the,
well, I think
like
you've
a boilerplate,
done,
but it's true.
Well, I think you've done a great job. And I just think that, you know, you've done it's a monumental task. And I think being outdoors really throws another whole aspect to it. And so, you know, with stage craft, lots of times you can fill in a lot of the gaps. That's what I like about stage left. You know, as you know, it's like so much of it is set design. The stage is its own character lots of time. Well, we don't really have that so much in the park, except for we do have the park, and we've got a couple of stage pieces. But for the most part, you know, it's up to the actors, and you've done a really good job, I feel like, of utilizing that space and turning it into more of a plus than anything else. So that's been really good, I feel like. So anyway, but what do I know? I could be totally wrong. Sorry. but I think it's been going. And you know, you also do have a great group of people here too, because you don't really see anybody complaining about stuff, or everybody just pitches in, puts their head down and does their thing, and you know, everybody's kind of up to their. They have a lot of responsibility of taking care of things that break or don't work or whatever, or working their way around people and all that. And everybody's really good about that. I feel like that's pretty cool. And I was going to ask you, you know, as far as young actors, it seems like in Spokane, there's just like so many great young actors. Why is that? Is it the university? Is it just the universities that are turning them out? Why? I don't know if I've ever been in a place where it's just such a tar. And there's places today, this week there'll be shows starring people I've never heard of that do a phenomenal job. You know, that, I don't know. Why is that? I want an answer now.
Well, I grew up here and I don't know. I mean, I look at the high school kids right now and there are some high schoolers that are doing incredible stuff, you know. I think Lewis and Clark High School just closed Mean Girls, and like that's a pretty big show for a high school to take on. And I graduated from Shadle Park High School, you know, like I did theater there, and I think it's really inspiring for young artists to look around and see other young artists. I grew up with Jared McDougall, who plays Orlando, and we've done theater together since high school, and it's been really, really awesome watching him grow and being inspired by him. Don't tell him I said that.
I'm sure he doesn't listen.
But yeah, I pray he's not listening right now. But it's been really cool to grow with actors. And then you're right, Maeve, about the universities. I met a whole lot of people in college that are just really cool and wickedly talented. And I think a lot of people come into this art form with a presence of wanting to learn from each other.
Yeah.
I also think that S3 is a great place to do that because you're meeting people that you would never meet in academic theater, and you're meeting people from all over Spokane, and you just get to learn from so many different kinds of people. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, Spokane is kind of a unique situation where, you know, we do have a pretty good theater scene. You know, we've got Civic and Stage Left, which are kind of mainstays, but we also have just a wide community of people that are adventurous and exciting and have great ideas. And we're in this kind of sweet spot of, you know, you want to open a theater company, you want to start something new. We have space. We have people who are going to help you and connect you. And even if it's for the long term, it's for the short term, we just have great opportunities for people to explore theater in really new and interesting and unique ways. And every, you know, I don't think I have ever met a theater person in this community who's said, you know, I'm not really interested in a new theater. I'm not really interested in trying something new. Like everybody is just is game for helping each other. And, you know, even with S3, we have a lot of connections with Stage Left. We have connections with Civic. And and I'm a high school theater teacher. And so being able to connect my students to these companies and kind of show them like you can enter theater at any stage, even if you have no experience or you want to try something new. Spokane is a great place to do that.
Amen. Yeah. And it's funny because there's so many startups, you know, companies that kind of come and go, and it's not like it's not a failure on their part. It's just that they start something, they fill this niche, they do these shows, and they move on to something else. So I love that. And I've been a part of a couple of those, you know, and those folks, you wind up working with them in other productions and doing other things with them, certainly. But it's fun to be a part of something that's almost transitory. I like that. And that's the nature of theater too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, well, we're going to do our 20-minute till the hour stuff, unless anybody has anything to add to my very eloquent, well thought out thing. Does anybody want to outdo that right now? Okay. All right. So we're
sounded great, Maeve.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hear. Okay. We're going to do our 20 minute after the hour stuff and then our 20 minute to the hour stuff, and we'll be right back.
Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. for Solidarity Spokane, the Inland Northwest's local labor hour, hosted by Cat Sabotage, elevating the voices of everyday workers and worker organizations, fighting for your rights in the workplace and fostering community solidarity. Join us here to reclaim control over your own destiny by reclaiming the conditions and products of your labor. That's Mondays at 4 p.m. here on KYRS Thin Air Community Radio and Injury to One.
cause an injury to all. KYRS is grateful for the many listeners.
Of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's much left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. I really hate to trip, but I gotta look. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be like, on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight. Been spending most their lives living in the gangster's paradise. Keep spending most our lives living in the gangster's paradise. Power and the money, money and the power, minute after.
Out and About received support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street, open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m., Sundays, full menu and information at bootsbakery.com. And I apologize about that weird kind of cut there. One of my announcements dropped out, and so I had to just do Richard Cheese singing Gangster's Paradise. Why not? That seems to be what you have to do. So, yeah. So, anyways, but we did it, and we're back, and I'm talking to my friends, co-workers, co-players, director from As You Like It, Spokane Shakespeare Society. We're talking about, you know, being in the trenches of the parks and doing our thing and all that stuff, and again, last week down at Riverfront Park, you can go to SpokaneShakespeareSociety.org. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. Or what else? We can look at the socials, yes. Right?
Or you can look at our Facebook or Instagram page, Shakespeare Society. Well, Spokane Shakespeare Society. That's important. On Facebook or Instagram. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay, we're gonna come back. We're going to do another scene. And this has all three of these great
all
actors
of us.
In it. And why don't you, somebody want to set this one up?
Yeah, sure. Short introduction. Oliver has just been saved by his brother from a lion and a snake and things. And this is Oliver's first meeting with Celia.
A lion in France.
Yes, in Arden, a fake place.
Is that why they named it the Lyon, France, right? I mean, it must be it. Yeah, okay.
I'll say that.
Yeah. Okay.
Good morrow, fair ones. Pray you, if you know, where in the purlieus of this forest stands a sheepcote fenced about with olive trees?
West of this place, down in the neighbor bottom, the rank of osiers by the murmuring stream. Left on your right hand brings you to this place, but at this hour the house doth keep itself. There's none within.
If that an eye may profit by a tongue, then should I know you by description. Such garments and such years, are not you the owner of the house I did inquire for?
It is no boast, being asked to say we are.
Orlando doth commend him to you both, and to that youth that he calls his Rosalind he sends this bloody napkin. Are you he?
I am. What must we understand by this?
Some of my shame. If you will know of me, what man I am, and how, and why, and where this handkerchief was stained.
I pray you tell it.
When last the young Orlando parted from you, he left a promise to return again within an hour, and pacing through the forest, chewing the food of sweet and bitter fancy, lo, what befell. He threw his eye aside, and mark what object did present itself. Under an old oak, whose boughs were mossed with age and high-top bald with dry antiquity, a wretched, ragged man, o'ergrown with hair, lay sleeping on his back. About his neck a green gilded snake had wreathed itself, and her head, nimble in threats, approached the opening of his mouth. But suddenly, seeing Orlando, it unlinked itself, and with intended glides did slip away into a bush, under which bush's shade a lioness, with udders all drawn dry, lay couching, head on ground with cat-like watch, should that the sleeping man should stir, for 'tis the royal disposition of that beast to prey on nothing that doth seem as dead. This scene, Orlando did approach the man and found it was his brother. His elder brother.
Oh, I have heard him speak of that same brother, and he did render him the most unnatural that lived amongst men.
And well he might so do, for well I know he was unnatural.
But to Orlando, did he leave him there food to the sucked and hungry lioness?
Twice did he turn his back and purpose so, but kindness, nobler ever than revenge, and nature, stronger than his just occasion, made him give battle to the lioness, who quickly fell before him, in which hurtling, from miserable slumber, I awaked.
Are you his brother?
Wast you he rescued?
Wast you that did so oft contrive to kill him?
T'was I, but 'tis not I. I do not shame to tell you what I was, since my conversion so sweetly tastes, being the thing I am.
Yay! Now, you guys are all such fantastic actors. I have to ask, were you always Shakespeare buffs, or was Shakespeare something that kind of came to you, or what's your experience with Shakespeare?
Oh yeah, I'm a big Shakespeare nerd over here.
Well, because you like British television.
I do. I have a little bit of a cheat since my family is from Britain.
Oh, so wow,
it's in my DNA. But I was that kid in sixth grade who was trying to read Romeo and Juliet because I couldn't wait for middle school to start reading it in class. And this is probably my fourth Shakespeare show, third or fourth that I've been in. And it's just, I'm obsessed. I teach it, I live it, I read it, I go and see it as much as I can. And this is, As You Like It, is actually one of my favorites. And Rosalind has been a dream role of mine. So I every day I'm like, Abby, thank you so much for trusting me with this role, because I would have been okay if I hadn't been cast as Rosalind, but also I think I would have been sad for the rest of my life.
I think we all would have been sad if you weren't cast in that role.
We'll never get to see her Touchstone.
Oh. Maybe someday. The future, someday.
Personally, I want the Touchstone.
You'd be great. Touchstone. I would watch that.
Yeah. I think Touchstone is the next natural progression for me.
Yeah, Touchstone's a great character.
I have actually, this is only my second Shakespeare show ever. I had not acted in a Shakespeare show until... you're really tall. I'm actually more than common tall, but... Ooh. Anyway, I hadn't acted in a Shakespeare play until Whitworth did Much Ado About Nothing in the fall. And that was my first Shakespeare play, and I instantly fell in love with acting in Shakespeare. I loved it. I had a great time. And I had known about S3 for a while because I had a lot of friends that did it. And I was talking with some of my friends, and I was like, okay, well, I really like Shakespeare comedies. So if it's a Shakespeare comedy, I'll probably audition. If it's anything else, I'll probably have to think about it, but I'll still probably audition. And lo and behold, it was a comedy, and I auditioned. And now I'm here.
Yes, you are.
I hated Shakespeare. Before I met one of the senior lecturers over at Eastern Washington University, Jeff Sanders, who is...
I know Jeff, yeah.
Who is like
He's so into Shakespeare. He loves it with all his heart, and he knows what he's doing when it comes to Shakespeare. And I took his advanced Shakespeare class and Acting 3, which both focused on Shakespeare acting, and fell in love with it. Can't stop, won't stop, never will stop. I've only really done one other, like, full production, but I've done a bunch of scenes from Shakespeare shows, and my full production wasn't even like a full production of Shakespeare. It was Twelfth Night the Musical, where I was Malvolio.
Oh, sure.
But you're literally in Julius Caesar. That's literally true. I completely forgot. That's my favorite role I've ever played, and I completely forgot about it till just now. Yeah, it was Cassius in Julius Caesar. Never mind. The best show I've ever been in. Anyway.
For everyone who didn't hear, I had to remind Blake of their acting resume.
My acting resume. Yeah.
All right.
I love Shakespeare now.
Yeah.
And if I could just, like, nerd out for a moment. So a lot of As You Like It is in prose. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, there's no line structure. Except for what Blake just did, which is there's sections, and especially Oliver has a lot in that section of verse. And Blake, they are such a good verse speaker. So
yeah,
I don't think I've personally met Jeff, but I gotta give my compliments because
he drills it into you.
Yeah, you can hear it. You can hear the difference too in just how it sounds, like regardless of the actor of how that sounds when it's being said.
Do you guys have any favorite Shakespeare movies that you've seen? Not Shakespeare in Love. You can't say that.
Clearly,
one.
Yes.
Yes, I love the Much Ado About Nothing movie with Kenneth Branagh in it. It's so good. I watched the As You Like It movie.
One had Keanu Reeves in it too, didn't it?
Yeah, the Much Ado movie has Keanu Reeves in it. It was totally wild. I did not know that it existed until I was taking a Shakespeare English class in college with one of my favorite professors ever. And we were all watching it in class, and Keanu Reeves comes on the screen, and everyone starts laughing. I don't know why. Evidently, Keanu Reeves is just funny. But I watched the As You Like It movie, going in with the hopes of Much Ado quality. And
that was a Kenneth Branagh, but he wasn't in it, right? He directed it.
And it was really disappointing, and I personally did not like it.
That was one in Japan.
Yeah,
I recommend, in terms of, this is maybe cheating because it's not really Shakespeare on film, it's just filmed productions, but National Theater at Home has some top-notch productions.
Yeah, that's cheating.
They're As You Like It, though, directed by Polly Findlay, is amazing.
It is fantastic.
The first, like, court act is in a, like, office space set, and then when they go into the forest, the set literally, this is National Theater, so they have it. Ridiculous budget. It pulls up into the ceiling, and the second act is just like these chairs, like dripping. Like, is this?
Oh, wow!
Like, incredible.
Is that on? Is that a YouTube thing, or do you have to? Is it on a specific channel?
It's a subscription service.
Okay. Wow, that might be worth it.
But they've got a lot of good stuff up there. So that's
that sounds really cool.
If you want to be cultured in your living room,
It's too late for me. But I don't want to see what I've been missing, but and you've always loved Shakespeare.
Let's
hear your recommendation.
Nothing beats live Shakespeare. Nothing beats live Shakespeare. This is my little brag. I actually saw As You Like It last year at the Royal Shakespeare Company. With a cast that had performed it in the 70s together. And it was like a reunion, and they all came together and they redid it, and it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. But I do, as far as films, I do have to side with Sydney. The Much Ado film is absolutely, it has a very special place in my heart. I love Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet. Was also pretty top notch, just the visuals of it. I keep siding with Sydney, but that's just why we gel so well. Comedies are always my favorite. If it's comedy, I will turn out and see it. If it's a tragedy or a history, I'm a little more critical, and it's really got to hit all the right spots.
Okay. Well, thank you. Those are great recommendations. And why don't we let people know one last time how they can go see the show and all that.
Blake doesn't want anyone to see the show. All right, I want people to see the show. So we will be at Riverfront Park Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evening at 6:30. We do not have a show on Sunday, so do not hold out expecting to go to a matinee on Sunday because we do not have one. We close Saturday night. So that's at 6:30 in Riverfront Park in Lilac Bowl. And if you forget all of that information, you can go on to SpokaneShakespeareSociety.org or check out our Facebook page or Instagram page for more information.
All right. Fantastic. Thanks, everybody, for being here. And we'll see y'all soon. Stay tuned for Jim Hightower and Amy Goodman, you know, the rest of the stuff. And you're listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane.
Head now to Eden, yea, brother. Head now to Eden. No more trouble in my body. Like a king on whatever I find. Eat all the fruit and throw away the rind.
Incredibly, Mike pretends to be the champion of the 14 million Democrats who voted for Biden in the party's primaries, asserting that elevating Kamala steals the votes of Biden backers. Gosh, Mikey, thanks for your deep concern for Democratic voters, but maybe you should ask them if they want you to be their savior. Those 14 million Biden voters also chose Harris to be VP, and they are actually excited to have her now lead the ticket. This is Jim Hightower saying, besides, maybe you should mind your own party's business, including your Lord Trump's whiny attempts to steal the last election by trying to cancel the votes of millions of Americans. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
Hey there, this is Ant I from The Electric Bender, and you're listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford, 88.1 FM, 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Is not self-policing. The court is not dealing with the obvious conflicts of interest. We need a mandatory code of ethics for the Supreme Court, and we need it now.
President Biden lays out his plan to reform the U.S. Supreme Court, calling for term limits, an ethics code, and an end to presidential immunity. We'll speak to the Brennan Center about Biden's proposals and whether they have any chance of being enacted. Then we look at Ziklag, a secret organization of wealthy Christians trying to sway the election and change the country. We'll talk to Andy Kroll of ProPublica. Plus, we go to Venezuela, where Nicolas Maduro has been declared the winner of Sunday's election despite fraud claims by the opposition.
Quienes hizo este plan es la extrema derecha, esta extrema derecha.
The extreme right did this plan. They were screaming fraud 15 days before the elections. They didn't sign the agreement to recognize the election results.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Palestinian Ministry of Health has declared an epidemic of polio after Israel's devastating assault decimated Gaza's health, water, and sanitation infrastructure, leading to an outbreak of the viral disease. On Monday, health officials called on Israel to immediately halt its offensive in order to combat the spread of polio by restoring access to potable water, personal hygiene, sewage networks, and waste collection. Displaced Palestinians sheltering in Khan Yunis say diseases are spreading rapidly.
We as mothers, along with our children, are suffering from skin diseases. Our skin has begun to show spots in both moms and kids, young and old. Everyone is starting to suffer from this problem. We have been struggling with a lack of cleaning supplies for a while, like shampoo, soap, sponges, chlorine. We are living in tents, in sand, among insects, lacking in hygiene.